What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the All-American Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carr, here bringing you guys another episode covering the NFL draft, this time with my first NFL mock draft of the year. So as I mentioned today, getting into NFL draft season, I believe we are just about 2.5 weeks out from the draft, obviously end of April here, and this is one of the most exciting times of the year. Especially this year. I mean, it feels like we got a loaded class. Today I'm going to be bringing you guys my mock draft. We'll get right into it in just a second. But it's going to be a shorter episode. I know I've made the effort to kind of get short and more condensed episodes. And I'm going to try to do that here with quick descriptions of each pick. No trades yet in this one. It's just my first mock draft of the year. I don't think I need to include trades. And by the way, there's really only one, maybe two spots within the top 10 where there could be trades. I'm only going to be covering the top 10 picks today, and obviously as we get closer to draft time, I will increase that to probably the whole first round. But if you guys know, you followed me for a while, this is one of my favorite times of the year. I love mock drafts, really in any sport, but especially the NFL is always so exciting. NBA is going to be coming up too. NBA playoffs coverage is going to be coming in the next few days. I know we get the play-ins tonight, but enough about that. More on the NFL. This is going to be a fresh-off-the-press mock draft, and I had to adjust it because I've really, thought about it, done some research in the last few nights, come together with one, and last night it seemed like I had one finalized, but then I'm sitting in school today in my history class, and breaking news comes out that Jeff Okuda, the former number 3 pick just a few years ago, was traded from the Lions to the Falcons in exchange for just a fifth-round pick, which I thought was an interesting compensation for a player of his caliber. But, well, it seems like a pretty insignificant trade. You're like, oh, yeah, I kind of forgot about him. He seemed to be founding his stride in Detroit, but I think that massively shakes up the landscape of the top 10 picks here, especially with Detroit and Atlanta being in the top 10. So we're going to start capping it off with the number 1 pick. Obviously, Carolina now taking over with the massive compensation they received from the Chicago Bears. And, I've kind of flip-flopped on this. And, in terms of mock draft, it's not super important because I think the first two quarterbacks off the board are pretty interchangeable between Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. But I'm going to go with Bryce Young, and I'm with the sports books on this one. It seems like Vegas always knows what's going on, and Bryce Young, as of today, or maybe yesterday, was named the favorite to be selected number 1 overall by Carolina. And in my personal opinion, I know, first of all, we've seen, C.J. Stroud. I know the quote from Josh McCown, the video, the combine, whatever. It's all speculation. I mean, you want to make every quarterback that you could select here, feel at home. And I think, in terms of my personal opinion, I'm not a huge believer in C.J. Stroud. I'm one of the few guys, I don't have C.J. Stroud as my top quarterback on the board. I will list my big board rankings, by the way, coming out soon. But Bryce Young, to me, is just more of a playmaker. And I know he might have it easier at Alabama, but you could argue the same thing for Ohio State. Stroud had a plethora of fantastic receivers to throw to. I think when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, Stroud's more of a pocket passer. Where, the knock on Bryce Young is obviously his size, but Young here in Carolina has a very dynamic group of weapons. He's going to be bred in by Frank Reich, who is really the quarterback guru, the quarterback whisperer. And I know he's a shorter guy who Reich is not used to, but he makes things happen a little bit more than C.J. Stroud. He is more of an improviser at the next level, where I think Stroud is more of a guy who's comfortable in the pocket. Not to say he can't make plays as well, but just from what I saw on tape and what I saw, especially when it came down to it, in the college football playoff and all that, Bryce Young is the better selection here. And I think he does come off the board number 1 and slots in there Carolina. Even though I think this is probably the time to take a chance, if I were the GM here, I would maybe shoot for an Anthony Richardson. You got a wide open division. Why not take the chance at a guy with that kind of athleticism? But I have Bryce Young, number 1, to the Carolina Panthers. Number 2, just talked about it with C.J. Stroud, next best guy off the board to the Houston Texans. And this kind of reminds me of, when Robert Saleh took over the New York Jets. Both are 49ers defensive coordinators, him and the new head coach of the Texans, D'Amico Ryans. They're very involved in the game. They're very passionate. They're very motivated. The Texans are trending in the right direction. They've actually built the one concern I had because, you know, the Texans are obviously going to select a quarterback here with being a high pick, and it seems like they now have a top three pick pretty much every year. But the one concern was, you know, do they even pick a quarterback given their lack of weapons and situation around him? Like, a quarterback who comes in, anyone is just going to get absolutely, you know, thrown in the dump. They're going to get sacked a whole bunch. I mean, we've seen this with Justin Fields, Joe Burrow, with his injury in the first year. Like, it's tough for a quarterback to develop in their first year, but I actually like what Nick Caserio, the general manager in Houston, has done. It's a much more formidable group, better group to work with, more experienced guys like Devin Singletary, Dalton Schultz, valuable additions. And I like the potential that this offense has to be good and, a competitive division, obviously, but certainly a winnable one with the Houston Texans. But they go ahead and get the fallout of the number one pick, which isn't bad at all with C.J. Stroud. And then a pick number three is the Arizona Cardinals, and they're in a really, really interesting spot here. And I think actually an easy one, but it's a little hard to negotiate here because obviously in my mock draft, there is no trades. Maybe my second one, I will have one here because it seems like the Cardinals have gotten a ton of calls. They've fielded a lot so far with the number three pick. This is a team that is in need of not just one guy, but multiple guys. So I could see someone jumping up for a quarterback here, trying to jump the Colts to pick number four and try to snag a guy like Richardson or Will Levis in this position. But for now, I think the Cardinals, it's hard to pass up on a guy like Will Anderson Jr., perhaps the best player in college football with, you know, a boatload of sacks these past 2 years. And, you know, he's been through everything, you know, Alabama. Like, what could you ask for? Time and time and again, he just comes through. He's just a big physical guy, checks all the boxes as an edge rusher. And for a defensive-minded coach and Jonathan Gannon, I think he's really going to like this pick, getting started off with a great edge rusher to replace J.J. Watt along that defensive line. He'll slot in there in Arizona really well, and I think this is a foundational piece that you can really build your defense around. So if Arizona decides to hang on to this pick, this is a no-brainer. They get the best defensive player off the board with Will Anderson Jr., edge rusher out of Alabama. Now on to number four, Anthony Richardson I have going to the Indianapolis Colts. And this is an interesting pick because the Colts are in need of a quarterback. They're going to pick Will Levis or Richardson. I've seen some mock drafts that don't have them taking quarterback, but it doesn't make any sense. I mean, you now have Trevor Lawrence. You're going to have whoever the Texans pick in their division, and Tennessee might even move up for a quarterback. Who knows about them? So the Colts need a quarterback. Shane Steichen is the guy who really led Jalen Hurts to success there in Philadelphia. And he's going to have another athletic quarterback to work with here in Anthony Richardson. His stock absolutely skyrocketed after the combine. I haven't seen a guy like this in probably my life. I mean, you can compare him to all you want, but he obviously needs a lot of polish to his game. The accuracy is not there yet. He only had a 53% completion percentage at Florida. And obviously, you know, that worries you as an offensive coordinator, as a head coach, as a general manager. But the athletic tools that this guy has, I mean, he is going to be a freak. He's a guy you can really easily build your offense around. And, you know, the passing will come. It'll build off, and everything in this offense now will build off the running game between Richardson and Jonathan Taylor. And it's going to be a really interesting offense. I can't wait to see what Shane Steichen draws up because obviously, you know, he has designed runs for Jalen Hurts, but I don't think anybody in the NFL is going to have designed runs like they will have for Anthony Richardson. Just an electric guy who you're excited to watch. And for a team like the Colts and Chris Ballard, Jim Irsay, an aggressive owner, I think they really need to nail their guy here in the draft more so than just picking a guy up at, like, in free agency like they've done for pretty much the past 6 years. They nail their starting quarterback here in Anthony Richardson. It is a little bit of a risk, but one that they definitely need to take, for a young and improving roster. Pick number five, the Seattle Seahawks. Interesting pick here because a lot of people think they're going to go quarterback, but I don't think so. I think Geno Smith proved himself last year. He was a great story. They have Drew Locke still there to back him up if they need. And this offense is really, really developed. Yeah, you could probably fix some pieces along the offensive line, but now you got a stud running back in Kenny Walker. You have two great wide receivers, and Geno Smith was pretty well protected last year, you know, better so than we've seen with Russell Wilson past really decade. And this defense had some pleasant surprises. I mean, we know the Seahawks really knew what to draft last year. They hit all of their picks. They really nailed them on the head. And this one is going to be a little bit of a risk. But I have them taking Jalen Carter here. Obviously, we have all the off-the-field questions. But it looks like those have been pretty much cleaned up. His pro day and his combine were a little bit questionable. But the talent and, you know, the just buzz and hype surrounding this guy, I think will be too much to overcome. We saw the Seahawks and Pete Carroll, a defensive mind team, defensive culture there. They need a building block on their defense. They found a lot last year. They found a great one with Tariq Woolen, the corner they took at a UTSA, and I think it was the fifth round. But they took a chance on him. You know, he had, you know, long wingspan guy, very, you know, well-built, good frame for the quarterback position. He's like 6'4", something we've never seen before, but coming in raw. And, you know, Jalen Carter, I'd say, is a lot more polished than him. But even so, you're banking on his athleticism. And I think they do that exact same thing here with Carter, a guy who can just instantly plug and play to stop the running lanes. Because they did struggle a lot against the run, but Jalen Carter, a guy who can move around in the interior. I think they beef up the interior of the defense. And, you know, you need a, for every great cornerback, there's got to be a good pass rusher. Great way to start here with Jalen Carter, a guy who can kind of slow up your run. But also, we know, and we've seen it time and time again, he can get to the quarterback. Seen him along that great Georgia Bulldogs defensive line. Pick number 6, this was my most recent change here. And I have the Detroit Lions taking Devon Witherspoon, kind of a close-by guy in Illinois. And this is a guy, you know, he's built around his technique. He's beefy. He's physical. He's a guy like Sauce Gardner, who we saw really break out as a rookie last year and come away with Defensive Rookie of the Year honors. But Devon Witherspoon, I like him. I think he's pretty similar to the guy they just traded away in Jeff Okuda, but more of the player they wanted him to be. This guy is physical. He doesn't allow a lot of passes to be caught. And there's not really much to say about him, but they similar to the Seahawks, they found their guy last year, another building block in defense, in Aiden Hutchinson. He's their key pass rusher. Now you find a key cornerback, lock in that combo. That's how you start a defense. And I think Dan Campbell is really going to like this guy, Devon Witherspoon, a big physical corner who just knows the game well. He's getting, you know, we've seen in years past, the rookie corners every year are getting better and better with their technique. We're seeing less pass interference penalties and more just polished guys who can make plays. That's Devon Witherspoon for you, and he won't allow a lot of plays on the offensive side. Especially when you got guys coming in that division. Justin Fields, obviously, is going to have some weapons. You have DJ Moore. You have Justin Jefferson out in Minnesota. Christian Watson, very young, promising receiver. Out there in Green Bay, you need a number one corner, and I think they get Devon Witherspoon here. Now, pick number 7, I have another cornerback off the board. I think the Raiders, now, if it was between these two guys, I don't know who they would take, but I think they'd honestly lean towards Christian Gonzalez. I have him going number 7 in the Raiders, and the Raiders, you know, they rely more on guys, you know, off of athleticism. I feel like we saw that with Damon Arnett a few years ago, and obviously it didn't work out. But Gonzalez, you know, similar to Witherspoon, great in coverage, but mainly you're banking on his athleticism. And Oregon just seems to find these guys every year, you know, just long, rangy, speedy athletes who can just, you know, are really ball hawks. And as a cornerback, that's what he does. He can make plays for you. And the Raiders, you know, I've said this time and time and again with a lot of guys, but they have Max Crosby, their key edge rusher. You need a great, you know, pass defender in the back of the secondary in Christian Gonzalez. Now, a lot of people think the Raiders could go quarterback here, but I don't think so. And I know Josh McDaniels thinks of himself as a quarterback guru, but, you know, he has his connection with Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously from you know, being his offensive coordinator in New England. And I think he really likes him. You know, this isn't the time. You're not going to find a guy here at pick number 7 who's better than Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert, or maybe not even with, you know, you have Sean Payton and Russell Wilson now in Denver, and you're going to have to find a guy who can defend, you know, all three of those quarterbacks. They can sling the ball, and what better to do that with a solid cornerback to go along with a pretty good pass rush they started last year with Chandler Jones and Max Crosby. They hit on Nate Hobbs last year, really good cornerback, but even better if you slot him as the number 2 behind Gonzalez and really beef up the back end of the secondary. Allow yourself to have a chance in this division, especially on defense, because offensively they have some nice weapons that complement Garoppolo, who's familiar with Josh McDaniel's system. And the thing with the Raiders is if they do, first of all, there's a few reasons not to take a quarterback. One, Jimmy Garoppolo, and they signed him to, by the way, not just a bridge quarterback deal. They signed him to a 3-year deal with some pretty good money involved. I believe it was $11 million a season. It seems like that's who they're going with, and they're relying on the rest of the team to kind of, you know, bring him upright and prop him up to the level of guys like that in their division with the quarterbacks. Number two, I kind of lost my train. Oh, yes, that's it. Next year is a much better cornerback class. If you're really bad this year, which you probably will be if you're Las Vegas, no matter how good your roster is, you have three teams in the division that are almost definitely going to be better than them. It's you know, it's a great quarterback class next year, and you're not going to find top-tier talent at the number 7 pick in this draft. You're really left with Will Levis, who's more of an athletic guy, hasn't really polished off his arms so much, and I think they'll have better luck with a great, great quarterback class next year headed by Caleb Williams. Pick number 8, the Atlanta Falcons, the now receivers of Jeff Okuda in that trade. I have them taking Tyree Wilson, a big edge out of Texas Tech, and you would think I'm going to say another guy where you rely on his athleticism and big frame. Tyree Wilson's technique is absolutely insane. I absolutely love this guy, and I've seen him really everywhere in the first round, up until about the 20s, I'd say is where he kind of is definitely off the board by then. But why not pick him earlier? Like, he literally, like Will Anderson, if there wasn't a Will Anderson in this class, I think he'd go a lot higher. But even here at 8 is pretty high. And for a team that now is Okuda and A.J. Terrell slotted in the back end of their secondary, they added Jesse Bates. All you really need to do is add some pass rushers, and what better to start with 6'5", 270 edge rusher who can really just move like a freak. That's exactly what Tyree Wilson can do, and he can kind of really move along your defensive line. Complement Grady Jarrett is a great run stopper. But Wilson just, you know, plays the game the right way, and obviously his size helps him do that at a very, very high level. I think the guys in Atlanta are going to get excited about this one. You have a lot of vulnerable quarterbacks in that division, and Wilson should be able to find his way to them pretty easily. And now moving on to number 9 with the Chicago Bears. Interesting pick here because the Bears, I know the Falcons were second to last, I believe, in quarterback pressures last year. Another reason to go with Wilson. The Bears are actually flipped that. The Bears were second to last. The Falcons were dead last, I believe. And the Bears were second to last, which makes you think go edge rusher here, but there's not really a lot of great ones off the board. You could maybe be, you know, jumping the gun by taking a guy like Miles Murphy or Nolan Smith or Lucas Van Ness. Why not just get yourself a surefire offensive lineman who can really slot around all 5 positions to protect your franchise quarterback? Ryan Poles has really done everything in his power to help out Justin Fields this season. They've made some great additions on defense as well. Some really, you know, captains in the defense and linebacker position. I loved all the moves that he's made so far. And I think, you know, one more would just be adding Skoronski. Now, I don't know where he'd slide in immediately, but it seems like there's kind of 2 question marks at tackle. One is Braxton Jones, who actually was a pleasant surprise, a 5th-round pick last year, and could be a capable starter. The other is Tevin Jenkins, a former high draft pick for the Bears on the other side. There's been some trade rumors swirling around about him, that's why I think, you know, Skoronski moved to either of those tackle positions, but also slot in really anywhere you need him, at guard, at center, everywhere. And I think it's a very solid pick to, you know, keep that running game going, especially with the loss of David Montgomery in the offseason, but also protect, you know, Justin Fields and now his new weapons in DJ Moore. And he'll probably add some more through the draft as well. Number 10, another interesting position here, and another tackle off the board. I think the Philadelphia Eagles here can kind of afford a luxury pick. You think, you know, with the Eagles, with all of the, you know, guys who departed this offseason, they would have some holes to fill. But when you look at this roster, you really boil it down, they don't have a lot of holes to fill. I mean, they obviously lost some guys, but they found some key replacements. The depth on this team was absolutely loaded. Like, I thought we would look back at this team after they won the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, they didn't win the Super Bowl, and be like, what a loaded roster this was. Well, instead, they lost the Super Bowl, they lost a lot of their guys, and they still have a bunch of great pieces all along this team, offense and defense. Really well-run organization with Howie Roseman in the general manager spot. And I think what better than to add another guy like Darnell Wright, another versatile offensive lineman. I see him as more of a tackle. He has great size, like Skoronski. But the thing, one thing about the Eagles is when you look beyond this year, you find some free agents, you find some aging pieces. Guys like Lane Johnson, Jason Kelsey aren't going to last. So why not get a guy like Darnell Wright? I think Skoronski would be a better fit, actually, with the Eagles. He's off the board. You take the next best guy. A little bit more raw, but a guy who can learn from some of the best along that offensive line. And Darnell Wright. You also have Isaac Somalo as a free agent next year. So you want to protect your franchise quarterback and the running game that really led them all that way to the Super Bowl and improve on a strength there with Darnell Wright. So that about wraps it up for my mock draft. Hope you guys enjoyed, and I will definitely get you guys some more of these soon. So stay tuned, but thank you for watching today, and peace.